Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia in Hummel's Wharf. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio here in Sunbury. Hopefully, Steve joins us soon here on the show. We'll have Matt Cotrillo here in a little bit. I'm sure he has some stuff to say about the Eagles hires, a little bit on Joel Embiid, I'm sure, who came out today. I saw before I came in that the surgery was at least successful today, which is a plus. Hopefully he's back for the playoffs, which is going to be huge for the 76ers. I think losing to the Mavericks moves them to 4-11 or 4-12 without Embiid this season. So I mean, obviously that puts a lot on Maxey and Tobias Harris to step up in the scoring.
And to their credit, they're not good enough.
Well.
All right, so, they aren't. I mean, they're good players, but they're not great players. I mean, they're good, you know. So, but that's, you know, Embiid's a star. He's averaging more than a point a minute. 4 weeks. Okay. I mean, but you know, you're still going to have to wean him back into the lineup. How about that? It's not as if he doesn't need to be weaned back into the lineup. He'll need to be weaned back in, whether it's the playoffs or not. He's not going to go out there, and he's not going to play 35 minutes.
Well, I was going to say it's a need too, because in that, you know, you're right. There's going to be a lot of conditioning work that needs to be done to get him up to speed.
Right, you know, and pain tolerance.
Yeah,
I mean, there's going to be a lot of things that happen. I mean they've got everything earmarked for a first round exit.
Don't make me sad.
But they're just they're always searching for something.
Yes.
The Sixers, they've got the guy to build around, so that's great. But, you know, remember, when they say 4 weeks, he's out at least 4 weeks. 4 weeks is the minimum. Okay, he's out at least 4 weeks. So it's not a four-week guy. He said he'll be out 4 weeks. No, he's out at least 4 weeks. He could be out 5.5. I don't know. So... All right, the big story is that the National Labor Relations Board, it's a regional group, ruled yesterday that Dartmouth men's basketball players who had petitioned to be recognized by a local union are employees of the school. Now, remember, Dartmouth is a private school. All the Ivy League schools are. And there are some private schools out there, Northwestern, USC, Vanderbilt, Duke, I believe, Stanford. Yeah. Not everybody is a state-related or has, you know, is a state school. And... He said, Rick Pitino said, for basketball, have the Power Five and the Big East commissioners get together and create a salary cap of between $1.5 and $2 million. All contracts delivered to the league and school offices. He said, Pitino did not suggest that major conferences should split from the other schools. He said the cap should be different for the other leagues. Dartmouth can appeal the National Labor Relations Board ruling, but the decision, again, is considered groundbreaking. Okay. So let's dive into this a little bit, because it's interesting, and there are some interesting points in here. All 15 members of the Dartmouth men's basketball team did sign a petition in September. And what they were asking to do was to join Local 560 of the Service Employees International Union. Now, that union already represents the employees at Dartmouth. So, by unionizing, that would allow the players to negotiate working conditions, practice hours, travel, and so forth. All right, over here in the back, travel, okay, practice hours? You're limited at 20 now, which includes meetings, film work, right? Anything that's formal equals 20 hours. Games, okay, 20 hours in a week. So what do you, like, anything else you do, that, you know, lifting weights? I mean, Penn State basketball, okay, played on Saturday. How much did they practice the last 2 days? How about zero? They had Sunday and yesterday off. They're back at practice this afternoon to get ready for Iowa on Thursday night. Now, did they have a tough week? Yeah, they did have a tough week. They had to bus on Tuesday night, got to Rutgers about 9, went to shoot around, watch film on Wednesday, then played the game at 8:30 on Wednesday night, did not get back because it was a bus trip until between 4 and 4:30 in the morning on Thursday, had a light work and some film work on Thursday afternoon, flew to Indiana and practiced at Indiana on Friday, played the game Saturday, flew back, and they've been off 2 days since. So, I mean, that's what they've done. So, Dartmouth, they say, because Dartmouth has the right to control the work performed by the Dartmouth men's basketball team, and the players perform that work in exchange for compensation. I find that the petition for basketball players are employees within the meaning of the National Labor Relations Act, according to the regional director, Laura Sachs. Now, this is not the National Labor Relations Board. This is the regional office. But it should be pointed out that the National Labor Relations Board in D.C. is supposed to have 5 members on it. Right now it has 4 members. 3 were appointed by Presidents Obama and Biden. One was appointed by President Trump. And the leader of the current NLRB has said that, has indicated being in favor of unionization of college athletes. So if it works its way up the ladder, it's probably going to get rubber stamped. Basketball player representatives Kate Haskins and Romeo Mithrell call the ruling a significant step forward for college athletes. We're excited to see how this decision will impact college sports nationwide. Now remember, everybody in the Ivy League is a private school. They did announce plans to form the Ivy League Players Association for basketball players across the league. We believe that other athletes will recognize the opportunities this ruling presents and will be inspired to follow suit, the statement said. This association aims to foster unity, advocate for athletes' rights and well-being, and create a platform for collaborative decision-making. We look forward to working with our fellow Ivy League athletes to bring positive change to the landscape of college sports in the Ivy League. So,
hey Steve.
Yeah.
Matt's here.
Oh, mercy. And ladies and gentlemen, forget the yellow brick road. It's time now to bring in Matt Cotrillo.
Well, the NCAA doesn't know what that is, and nor does neither one Roger Goodell, Steve Jones.
He speaks highly of you.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. This guy sure knows how to please orders and keep money flowing. At least I have to give them that. But in terms of player safety, caring about the fans or whatnot, this guy doesn't have a clue. The latest being that during his press conference at the Super Bowl yesterday, he announced out of nowhere that the Eagles have been chosen to be the home team for the first ever Brazil game on a Friday night on week one.
Okay.
Let me say that again. Friday night, week one, Brazil. Does that sound like that's a good idea to you? Because I don't. Let me tell you one thing. It's bad enough to continue these ridiculous international games. It's another thing to do it on a Friday night, which hasn't been done in 50 years now in the NFL. Then it's another to put it in stinking Brazil. I mean, are you serious? What more are you going to ask these players to do? Not only do they have to play on a Friday night, you're giving this team a weird week as it is to begin the season, and then you put them in Brazil. What are we doing here is my question.
You're not going to go?
That would be a no. I can't even tell because this is selfish, but you know what? There's a lot of us, including one Speedy here, you can say this too, even though you're a Seahawks fan, that guess what? I'm probably going to be busy doing high school football Friday night. So it's not like I can even go if I even wanted to. As you and I talked about before, Steve, Friday night should be for high school, Saturday should be for college, Sunday, Monday should be for the pros. Yeah. And here we go now. Now we're getting the NFL on Friday night. We started getting college football and Big Ten on a Friday night. Now we're getting the NFL on a Friday night. I get it. You want to try to continue to grow the game and this and that, but like as I've said before, leave well enough alone. I mean, let's think about this again. Going overseas, it's week one, and it's on a Friday night. I mean, what makes anybody think this is a good idea? And let's also remember, too, by the way, last time we tried to play a game in Central or South America, that didn't go very well, did it? You had to stop the game because the field was out of whack. And then when you tried to do that the year before, players literally had to walk a mile up and down a hill to get from the locker room to the field. This just doesn't work out anymore. It just doesn't. And let me tell you something else, too, Roger. In terms of this is all the games. This is in games in London, the games in Germany that they had last year. Now you're adding Brazil into the mix when they played a couple of games in Mexico. These fans still and will only care about one sport, soccer. When their eyes is the real football. They only care about the NFL when the games come for that week overseas. Then they'll be all happy about the NFL, all get up about the NFL, ready to go, watch the game. Then they go back to their soccer. Nobody cares about the NFL except for a couple of games a year, Roger Goodell. It doesn't matter. So leave it in the country where it belongs, America. Let's play it on a Thursday, Sunday, or Monday, and leave it at that. Enough.
From sea to shining sea. All right, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Couple things. You do make good points. Number one is the opening week. So the Eagles and who are they playing? Do we know?
Well, they haven't announced that yet, but presumably it's going to be one of their nine home games.
Right.
If I had to take a guess, I think it's going to be Atlanta, Carolina, or Jacksonville. Okay.
So you
That's
play
all
that.
Of the teams that are on the home slate next year.
So you're going to have 2 weeks between your last preseason and that game, so that doesn't matter. Number two, this is the year where the NFC has the nine home games. So that's why designated home teams are always the ones that have the ninth home game. So that's not an issue. I'm not sure. Is Sao Paulo in the Eastern time zone or Central? I don't know.
I couldn't tell you one thing. You know, one thing I'm also not doing, Roger Goodell, they apparently are going to play the Eagles fight song in Portuguese. I'm not learning stinking Portuguese for one game. I'm sorry.
I'm half Portuguese. How dare you put us down?
Portuguese and Brazilian people.
Actually, I am half Portuguese.
How about that? That's something I did not know about Steve Jones.
A lot of people do not know. Well, my mother, her maiden name was Ferreira. And my grandparents were both from San Miguel in the Azores and came here. My grandfather came through Fall River, and my grandmother came through Ellis Island. But
wow.
So I'm actually, I remember telling Gil Santos once, yeah, I'm half Portuguese, you know, and of course, you know, I'm fair-skinned, blue-eyed, right? And so Penn State.
Yeah, that would not be my first guess for nationality for one Steve Jones, I'll say that.
He looked at me, well, you know, you've met my brother, right?
I have in person, yeah.
My brother is black hair, brown eyes, and has a little darker complexion than I do. Okay, which is what my mother's complexion was. My complexion is what my father's happens to be, or happened to have been. And so I said to Gilly, I'm half Portuguese. He goes, yeah, cut me a break. And then he met my mother. He goes, oh, my God, you are Portuguese. So, yes, I am half, believe it or not. That's always a shocker to people. Like, what? Really? Yeah.
San Paulo is 2 hours ahead of the Eastern time zone. So it's
2 hours ahead. See, it's all good. Come on. It's all good.
Doesn't matter. How about you just play the game in the Eastern time zone and be done with it?
Oh, come on. You know, then they get an extra 2 days off before their next game. It's just playing into the, I mean, it plays out perfectly for Philadelphia. The only thing holding them back will be the usual lack of talent.
I mean, we'll see about that, but regardless, I'd rather see it at the link than see it in stinking Brazil.
To be honest with you, the way their fans are at home sometimes, maybe they're better off in Brazil. Getting off to a tough start.
You've seen the Brazil fans out there when they get mad about their soccer. It can get ugly. Worse than Philly.
I watched a documentary on Bill Walton. I finally got a chance to watch it this weekend. And, of course, the Blazers beat the Sixers in the 77 NBA Finals. They played Game 5 in Philadelphia, tied at 2 games apiece. And the Sixer fans booed their team off the court. Yep, that's who I want in my corner for a big game.
Well, obviously they didn't play well. We tell it like it is.
You don't win a lot either. All right, so...
And the Brazilians do tell it like it is when it comes to their soccer. I can tell you that.
Oh. So you're not in favor of that?
That would be a hard no.
Hey, maybe the game will be on Amazon. You don't have to worry about it.
You know what? I was thinking that. I said that would be the final slap in the face to the fans. Not only are you putting the team in Brazil, are you playing it on a Friday night, are you taking away a home game from season ticket holders, that would be the final slap in the face, is to also put it on Amazon or Peacock.
But you really aren't taking one away because it's the ninth game.
I guess in a way, no, because everyone's used to the 8 games. But I don't know if you have the opportunity to get more fans to an extra home game, I think you owe it to the fans. But I get it; it's not like you're taking away a game; it's going from 8 to 7.
So, yeah, the so you're out of the Brazil thing. Todd's on the fence. I think Todd wants to go.
The first Friday. Well, you know what? If I can get back by Saturday, if it's the first, I don't think it'll be the first Friday night, though. So, I don't know. Yeah. It's a vacation. I think they can do without me one time. But
I mean, really, I thought that would be week one. Because isn't week zero August 23rd?
Well, yeah, but that's so it'd be the third week of the season. The NFL. We'll be 3 weeks into the NFL or the high school season.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
I could watch the Eagles game or listen to the suit.
There's only one answer to that question, if you're an Eagle fan, that is.
Brutal.
I thought for sure that would be the first time you go with the suit.
Oh. Not even he's going to go that route.
The best joke I saw about this is somebody said the Philly people are going to pronounce San Paolo as Sal Palantonio.
See, that would be fantastic.
Sal Pal. There you go. Sal Pal. Oh, my goodness. All right. So is that the only thing you're upset about?
No. The other thing is related to, one, Joel Embiid and the Sixers. So there's with the Sixers in particular, and there's with the NBA. So I'll get to them quick. First with the Sixers, of course, is with Joel Embiid himself. Here we go again with this guy. I mean, he's topping what he did last year, and he's playing healthy, but you still have to hold your breath with this guy. And now we thought maybe he'd be out maybe a month or two, but now he could be out for the whole season. So this surgery better go well, because I'll tell you what, the Sixers look like a completely different team, and they're sliding fast. So I'm close to hitting the panic button when it comes to the Sixers. But the main point of this is load management has ruined this in terms of putting this rule in place for the 65 games or more, and you're going to be eligible for the MVP and postseason awards. The NBA and the Sixers themselves and all the NBA teams have nobody to blame but themselves, because they're the ones that took advantage of the rule before they changed it.
Oh, you're done.
Yes, that concludes to this week.
Whew, wow, that was quite the rampage.
Keep football in America where it belongs is the lesson for today.
From sea to shining sea.
That's right, coast to coast.
No games in Hawaii?
Oh, that we can do.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up. Routine, difficult to handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. You appear to be dumbfounded by Matt's rant.
I actually had a thought this morning. Is I wonder what he could possibly be round up about this week. I should have known.
Well, when I told him I was half Portuguese, it confused the living daylights out of him.
That one threw me for a loop, too. That was not the sentence I was expecting to come out of your mouth.
See, it's something that a lot of people don't know about me. Because I'm a quarter Welsh, that's the Jones part, quarter Irish, right? And I'm half Portuguese. Like, okay, that's because of my mom. Yeah. So, yeah. Surprise. All right. Brock Purdy, pick number 262. His current salary is $870,000. Okay? $870,000. Now, for you and me, that's pretty good. Like, hey, I'd take that in a heartbeat. But compared to other quarterbacks, okay? So how many game minutes does it take these quarterbacks to match Brock Purdy's salary for the year? Lamar Jackson, it takes him 11 game minutes to match Purdy's salary for the year. It takes 16 minutes for Patrick Mahomes. Daniel Jones, 19 minutes. Deshaun Watson takes him 19 minutes. Joe Burrow, 24 minutes. Dak Prescott, 29 minutes. Derek Carr, 30 minutes into the season, he's made as much money as Brock Purdy does for the season. Kirk Cousins, 30 minutes. Josh Allen, 32 minutes. Russell Wilson, 32 minutes. Geno Smith, takes him 32 minutes to get to Brock Purdy's salary. 32, these are game minutes. Matthew Stafford, 32 minutes. Ryan Tannehill, who's a free agent now, 33 minutes. Jared Goff, 34 minutes. Bryce Young, 35 minutes. Jimmy Garoppolo, 37 minutes. Your guy, Jalen Hurts, 37 minutes. Okay? He's then, after 37 game minutes, okay, he has hit the Brock Purdy salary. C.J. Stroud, 37 minutes. Anthony Richardson, 40 minutes. Justin Herbert, 52 minutes. Okay? How about that? Jordan Love takes about a game and a half, 91 minutes. Tua takes about three games, 187 minutes. Trevor Lawrence, a little longer, takes about three and a half games, 222 minutes. Ooh, Zach Wilson takes four games, 228 minutes. Yikes. Justin Fields takes 374 minutes. Mac Jones, 427. Josh Dobbs, 592. Kenny Pickett, 660 minutes of playing. So it's going to take 11 games for him to get to Brock Purdy's salary.
That's like three hamstring pulls.
Oh, you're just cruel. You're just cruel. So there you are. I mean, talk about the best bargain in sports right now. It's him. And what he does at his salary number gives the 49ers a great chance of being relevant for the next couple of years because they don't have to pay him. And if you're not paying your quarterback that kind of money, or you're not forced to, pay the quarterback that kind of money, it gives you all sorts of flexibility at other positions on the field financially. Goes back to the Russell Wilson deal about being a third-round pick with Seattle. They were able to get Bobby Averill. They were able to get Percy Harvin. They were able to give contract extensions to their entire secondary, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, those guys. Right? They were able to do all that because their quarterback was on a third-round contract. Now, once it then gets to the point where you have to pay them, then your flexibility does go by the wayside. But the 49ers have all the financial flexibility in the world because their quarterback makes $870. Wow.
It is amazing they made that mistake on Trey Lance, and it really hasn't come back to haunt them because of Brock Purdy. They got quite lucky with that.
Yeah, and I wonder how much they had, because, I mean, he didn't get a second contract.
No.
And because he didn't get a second contract, they're still paying him the rookie contract, which now I believe they are free of. That's now Dallas's responsibility. Okay, so back to the unionization of Dartmouth players. Remember that Dartmouth is a private institution, just like all the Ivy League schools are. So when you're looking at schools that are, quote, state schools, there's, at least on this level, not a carryover. Now, they expect Dartmouth to appeal the regional director's decision to the national board, but again, and this happened with Northwestern, but here's the part that people don't realize. The Northwestern players voted against it. They voted against it. Okay? And that's what a lot of people don't realize. The vote was something like 62-13 or something like, or 62-15 against. And then the National Labor Relations Board said that, oh yeah, we're going to tell everybody what the result happens to be. And you know what they did? Okay, these are people whose salaries we pay. We pay their salaries. Okay? Guess what? They didn't do it. They tore up the ballots and threw them out. Never told us what the vote was. Now, why do I know it was 62-15? Well, it's not as if I don't know people at Northwestern, okay? I've been told by multiple sources that that is the neighborhood of how the vote turned out, okay? Now, as for this, if Dartmouth men's basketball players are employees, not only what athletes are not employees, but does this make the music students employees? Said Gabe Feldman, who's a sports law professor at Tulane. So look at, for example, let's take the Penn State Blue Band. Yeah, the Blue Band, they're at every home football game. They put a lot of practice time in. They're at one road game every year for football, and they go to the bowl game every year. They also have splinter groups. Some play at men's basketball, some play at women's basketball, some play at volleyball. And they're at a lot of, you know, there's a parade, like the Peach Bowl had a parade this year. Of course, the Tournament of Roses parade, they're in the parade, representing all the way through. Okay? Pep rallies, they're there. So are they employees? Now, there is a complaint before a different NLRB body in California that USC has put out there. I'm talking about the USC athletes in football and basketball, that they too should be deemed employees of the school. Now, the hearing on that is still a couple of weeks away. So, Jennifer Abruzzo, who is the National Labor Relations Board General Counsel, wrote 3 years ago, "The freedom to engage in far-reaching and lucrative business enterprises makes players at academic institutions much more similar to professional athletes who are employed by a team to play a sport." During the four-day hearing in October, Dartmouth's attorneys argued that the players should not be considered employees because athletics happen to be part of the academic mission of the school, like performing in the orchestra or even playing club sports. School attorney Joe McConnell said that at Dartmouth, school students' primary objective is learning. Dartmouth has adopted policies reflecting that students who participate in intercollegiate athletics are students first, athletes second. They also pointed out the program loses money. Attorneys for the players countered that the school's numbers leave out important and lucrative revenue streams that the basketball team contributes to. What's more, the players say it's not whether the team turns a profit. What matters is it brings in revenue. Okay. So under the category of, I don't apologize for the ability to read, you want to know what the average attendance is for a men's basketball game at Lead Arena in Hanover is? What's the average per game?
350.
350 per game? Actually, you're too low.
Oh.
Pleasantly surprised.
Damn, then 800?
Too high.
Yeah.
644 per game. So do they bring in revenue? Okay. So if Todd and I go to a game, and we pay, I think the average ticket price on StubHub is between $9 and $12. So let's take the high end, $12. Say Todd and I go to the Dartmouth-Harvard game on Saturday, and each of us buys a ticket for $12. We have now contributed $24 of revenue. So yes, Dartmouth basketball generated revenue.
7,728 per home game.
That's right. You got that right. Which means they have earned 77,000, which, by the way, is less than the rent that Penn State basketball pays to rent the Jordan Center. Just to rent the Jordan Center, Penn State pays triple that number plus. Just to put the court down. Okay. Generating revenue. Every sport generates revenue that anybody buys a ticket for. I mean, so that is just one of those word salad where if you sit down and go, they generate revenue. What's their expenses? How much money are they losing? I mean, come on.
What would be the hidden revenue streams for the Dartmouth men's basketball team, too?
My guess is that, number one, they do get a cut of the NCAA tournament. Okay, it's not a big cut because there's only one Ivy League team that goes, but it's split up. So that would be one revenue source that they would get. Now, the Ivy League number with one participant is not going to be a huge number, but it is divided up by eight. Okay? So that would be one. They do have a limited TV contract. It's not very big with ESPN, but they'll get some money from that. I really doubt the radio contract's worth much of anything there, which would carry football and men's basketball. So those are the hidden revenue streams. But here's a question that needs to be asked. So let's take it from the Penn State point of view. Is Bucknell in any way unionized?
I cannot answer.
Okay. There are some unions at Penn State, and I can give you one because of my 30 years I worked at WPSU-TV on campus. The audio people are in the Teamsters union. Now, why they're in the Teamsters, I don't know, but that's the union they were in. And, you know, and like the rest of us weren't unionized. We're just like, but we went along with the rules. Because, look, you know, for example, if I had to be on camera, I could not put my own microphone on. It had to be done by the union person. Now, are we sitting there putting our microphones on? No, because I didn't want to disrespect my fellow employee and the rules that they're under. I didn't want to disrespect her or him. No way. So, hey, we'll do it your way because, I mean, that's your union rule. I got it. Now, once in a while, we had to go around it because we couldn't get an audio person. You know what I mean? And we had to get something done, so don't worry. We'll just take care of this. All right. So once in a while, you had to work around it because of circumstances. But they were in the union. And then they're still in the union today, I believe. All right? Does anybody in the union work 20 hours a week? See, I'm an employee of the university. That's what this says as a basketball player. Yet basketball players, like other student athletes, are limited to 20 hours per week. That's what they're limited to. Now, that includes practice time, meeting time, film time, whatever. Now, if anything you want to do on your own is time on your own. You're the quarterback. You want to come in. You want to watch extra video, the whole thing. That's your time. It's not an organized time. Lift weights is always an organized time. That's part of your 20 weeks. 20 hours, I should say. Unless, of course, you're Jim Harbaugh. Remember, he got caught a few years ago, Michigan did, violating the 20-hour rule. Remember that?
There's so many.
I'm just saying, like, there's so many things that go on with this guy. Where you just sit back and go... Right, it's like I feel like I bring up stuff, people go, "Oh yeah, that's right." They forgot about it. And the, but if you're 20 hours a week, which is your what you're mandated to dedicate to your sport as a maximum, which includes the games, by the way. Can you be a union employee? And that's something that somebody would have to answer for me. I don't know. My guess would be no. That there'd have to be a certain hour limit that allow that then opens the door for you to be a union employee, right?
Huh? Wouldn't it be negotiated in the collective bargaining if they do become a union?
Yeah, but then what does that do to other part-time employees of the university that are working 20 hours?
Yeah, that's, you always say there's unintended consequences.
Right, and that's one of them. In other words, if I happen to be somebody that is working 22 hours a week at Dartmouth and a student athlete is allowed to unionize, shouldn't I be allowed to be a part of the union that has the benefits that goes with it? I mean, it's just a question that needs to be asked by people that are in that circumstance. I work 25 hours a week in Hanover. It's the best I could get. Well, wait a minute. Well, student-athletes are mandated to only be at 20 hours a week by the NCAA. By the NCAA, not by Dartmouth, by the NCAA. Okay? and yet they're considered to be employees with benefits that go with it. But I'm 25 hours a week, and I'm not? See, there's a lot of questions here that this rather simplistic article, and to its credit, very simplistic, doesn't ask the questions. You need to always be asking questions all the time about everything. Right? You need to think of the unintended consequences. What are the unintended consequences? Now, does this open the door, Todd, to opportunity that then gives schools a negotiating option with an organized, unionized group to then set the parameters on NIL, to set the parameters on transfers, and so forth? Does that give some opportunity to do that? Maybe. Maybe. It's just something that... there are questions you need to ask. Why is the 20-hour-a-week quarterback at Dartmouth a unionized employee getting benefits, while the 25-hour-a-week part-time employee does not? Over here in the back, can you answer that for me?
I'm guessing they're going to have to eventually.
Right. It's something that, it's something that would have to be discussed. Is, I don't know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know everything that goes on at Dartmouth. And then we'll see what happens with USC about basketball and football. Now, at USC, basketball and football both make money. At Dartmouth, no, nobody makes money on athletics. Nobody. We bring in revenue. Hey, you're averaging 644 fans a game. I mean, it's like a Purdue wrestling match. I mean, come on. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So last week, as we know, we talked about Purdue, the 46-8 free throw disparity against Northwestern. Do you realize that Chris Collins was fined $5,000 and publicly reprimanded by the conference? Really? 46-8 on free throw attempts? And he's not supposed to get mad about it? Really? Oh, and by the way, let's compound it. Okay? I'm not one that I could care less about who the Big Ten Player of the Week is. But Dick Girardi and I were talking about, hey, look at the job Ace Baldwin did last week. He needs to be considered for it, right? Guess who got it? Zach Edey. Yep. The guy that went 9-for-17 at the free throw line in that game. 9-for-17. Not a good night, but he was the player of the week. Really? 17 free throw attempts. The opponent had 8. He made 9. Opponent made 6. Really? This is making it worse.